This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Cohen.
I'm Madeline Brand. Army medic Rachel Hugo is being buried today in Wisconsin. She died in Iraq nearly 2 weeks ago after her unit was attacked by a roadside bomb and small arms fire. Rachel Hugo was 24 years old. Friends and relatives remember her as a compassionate and mischievous woman. She watched soap operas, enjoyed a good game of darts, and spoiled her cat. Wisconsin Public Radio's Brian Bull shares her story.
Rachel Hugo's family recently gathered at the Army Reserve Center in Madison to talk about her life. Her younger brother Scott and grandma Carol Hugo called her a prankster.
She had some fiber supplement gum from the Army that you chew. 5 to 10 minutes later, it's like X-Lax. It goes right through you.
She loved her hot gum, and she loved to give it to people if they were suckers to take it.
That was the biggest trick she ever played on someone. Boy, that was bad.
But Scott Hugo says his big sister was also his protector. He recalls when they were young kids exploring an old barn at a relative's farmstead when an ox charged them.
We were trying to get away from it, but it just kept following, and next thing I know, she tells me to run. She picks up like a 12-foot branch and smacks it in the face with it until I can get away, and then she drops it and starts hightailing it.
Kermit Hugo, Rachel's father, says her resolve came through only 3 months into her deployment when her sergeant was critically injured after insurgents set off a roadside bomb.
She just told the guys, cover me, went up there, started treating him, and I guess there was rounds going off. She stayed right there with him the whole time till he was medevaced out. Her quick thinking, her excellent training, we were told she basically saved his life.
Rachel Hugo was awarded the Command Sergeant Major Coin of Excellence. She was thrilled that part of it was colored green and gold, like the Green Bay Packers. Before being deployed in September 2006, Hugo was studying nursing at Viterbo University in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Her classmate, Juanita Davis, says as a student, Rachel didn't have to go to Iraq, but she wanted to look after her friends in the 303rd Military Police Company of the Army Reserves.
She didn't really want to go, but she knew why she was there, and she would have patients in her arms dying, and she knew daily that she had to watch people die. She knew that her life was on the line. She never knew if she'd wake up the next day, but she was there to take care of her guys and to take care of herself and her country.
Rachel Hugo was due home next month. And her mother, Ruth, says she emailed her daughter every night.
She did a lot of online cool shopping, and I kind of chewed her out for it, but she says, Mom, I'm going to be so ecstatic to be home as it is. But you know how new clothes always makes a person feel?
When Hugo died on October 5th, it was in the Iraqi town of Beji. Insurgents attacked her unit with small arms fire and a roadside bomb. Her death has stunned students at Viterbo University, where Stephanie Gens was her advisor.
We put a white rose as well as the article about her death, picture of her. We put those down in the nursing lobby, and there have been students and faculty reflecting about the loss of one of our own.
Classmate Juanita Davis says her friend stayed upbeat on her tour of duty, though sometimes her wariness of Iraq showed through. Rachel Hugo's MySpace greeting simply states, "This place is hell." For NPR News, I'm Brian Bull in Madison.
Whenever a soldier from California dies in Iraq, Steve Padilla knows about it. He's an editor at the Los Angeles Times, and he's in charge of the paper's military obituaries. Yesterday, I met with Padilla at his desk on the third floor of the Times building in downtown L.A. He sat at his computer, where a Department of Defense website listing casualties is bookmarked. Padilla showed me a list he had printed out of 56 obituaries he's overseen since he took on the job in May.
They're all so young. They tend to be so young. I mean, I look at my list here. Let's look at the ages. 21, 21, 23, 36, 40, 19. And you see every kind of ethnic background reflected in those names. So look at the one here. We have Adams, Ahern, Alexiev, Corey Hiltz. But we also have Gutierrez Rosales. His name was Luis. So that pattern is that mix of America. It's what you see in a lot of the memorials for many of the wars.
I'm going to be incredibly snoopy here, and I happen to notice on the front page of all of that some of your notes. And if I'm reading your handwriting correctly, I see words like September 11th, buddies, timing, and the first one, don't worry.
Oh, yes. Again and again, they all tell their parents, don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. And so often their parents, their friends, their coaches tell us that these guys never tell them what's actually happening. And they always say, don't worry, Mom. Don't worry. I'll be back. Don't worry. Buddies, that's an interesting one. Again and again, we hear about guys who could have come back home. They could have come back to the States, and they say they're going to stay in Iraq or Afghanistan because of their buddies. They say, I'd feel guilty if I came home and they didn't. So they stay.
I would imagine it must take an emotional toll after a certain point.
It does. There was one week, I think it was in June, where we had about four obituaries we ran in one week. And after a while, just the pain of the families just comes through. Because there's always some oddness about the timing of it. Inevitably, his daughter was just born. Or he was scheduled to come back, you know, any day now. There was one young man who was supposed to be on leave in April, but he decided not to go on leave. He decided to postpone that till June because he wanted to see his younger sister's high school graduation. Well, in April, he got killed.
With so many casualties mounting up at this point, there have been over 3,800 just for American military members. How do you keep these stories interesting? You know, I hate to say it, but I think after a while we all get a bit immune to hearing that another soldier has died.
That's not a problem, because the aim of these stories is to capture them as individuals. And although they may have certain parallels with other young men who've died, they're unique. Their backgrounds, their education, why they got into the service, their nicknames.
Steve, could I ask you to maybe share from one of the obits that you think best shows how the LA Times does this?
Yes, let me call one up that ran a little while ago about a young man named, he was an Army specialist from San Diego, Daniel Reyes. He was age 24. Let me get his name in here. Okay, this was written by Maria L. Laganga. It was a wish no mother ever wants to grant. Mom, if anything happens to me, I want you to bury me with my brother. That's what Army Specialist Daniel F. Reyes, 24, told his mother the last time he saw her at the funeral of his younger brother, Roberto Esparta, 18 months ago. Reyes was a newly minted paratrooper destined for Iraq, and his words made her heart sink. Rosalie Hernandez, a single mother, had just lost one son with military dreams and couldn't fathom losing another. I told Daniel, don't say that, Hernandez recalled. I don't want anything to happen to you. Let me just bring you in here what's happening. This is the end of this obituary. Daniel Reyes had a son. This is coming from the guy's wife, his widow. He knows who his father is, Rebecca Reyes said. Although the casket was closed during Reyes' funeral services, a poster-sized photo of the soldier in camouflage was on display. The toddler took one look and said, Papa, before Reyes was buried with his younger brother. Quote, whenever he sees a flag of the same material and size as the one that covered his father's casket, Rebecca Reyes continued, he says, Papa. We ask him where his dad is, and he points up.
Steve Padilla, editor at the Los Angeles Times, thank you so much.
Thank you.